is the Tom Likas Show.
Chicks rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just subscribe. Go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. And another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. That's right, a bonus hour. And joining us in this bonus hour, as he does every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, criminal defense attorney Adam Sack. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Always great to be here, Tom.
What's going on?
So, you may have heard of denial, Tom. You know what denial is? It is not just a river in Egypt.
That's what I hear.
You know, in the different kinds of cases that there is a different spread in terms of time. And particularly in family law, you know, you get papers in the mail and then you don't have a hearing for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. You have to respond kind of close to the hearing. You can ask for a continuance. You say you're sorry, you don't have a lawyer or whatever, the judge will give you a break. Criminal law is much more intense. It's much more driven by the calendar, and it's a lot less flexible in a lot of ways. And what happens in a lot of cases, and I've seen this remarkably enough, no matter what the age of the person is, somehow it's kind of primitive in a way. A lot of people come to court with their parents. Did you ever see that?
I have.
Gary knows what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, grown Gary gets in trouble, and he's got his mom and dad there in court with him, you know, and he's sort of being quiet while they talk to people, you know. And I was in court the other day. It was kind of a sad thing. I don't know if you know this, Tom, but one of my secret hidden talents is that I know sign language reasonably well. And I've had a lot of deaf clients over the years, and there was this guy who was deaf, and he was just trying to, you know...
That must be great if you want to pick up deaf chicks. That must be great.
Oh, yeah, it's really great. I'll have to keep that in mind.
You never know. It could be another Marley Matlin, somebody relatively high who happens to be deaf.
All right, I'll have to keep that. I haven't run into her yet.
Yes.
But there was this, it was kind of unfortunate. There was this deaf guy and he didn't know where to go. And I kind of started, you know, talking to him and trying to help him. And you see that a lot of people, it doesn't hit them until like the last moment. I've talked to a lot of mothers over the years who are telling me, you know, oh, it's okay. My son's innocent. Nothing's going to happen. And that last little moment where, you know, the hammer comes down guilty and they're like kind of taking him out the side door because he's going off to jail or whatever. And that's sort of the moment when they finally kind of coalesce and the mother's like, oh, my God, what's happened? And so then it becomes much more about trying to make an appeal, which is very, very difficult. And the odds are extremely against it than, you know, getting it right the first time. I talk to a lot of people, and I'm, you know, by the way, Tom, a lot of people from the show that are very eager, particularly as guys, to get it over, to be done with it, to just, you know, pay the fine or whatever, and they don't realize the connection to the things that are going to happen to them. I talked to a guy today who is a FedEx driver, and he got a DUI. And he's telling me, well, you know, hiring you is going to be a big deal, and it's a lot of trouble, and it's going to cost money. I'm just probably going to plead guilty and be done with it. And I said to him, I said, listen, you know, that's your choice, of course, but, you know, you're not going to be able to continue working at FedEx. You're a driver. If you get a DUI, they're going to fire you. They're not going to keep you on. There was kind of like silence on the other side. There's one of these, you know, kind of a couple of moments of him sort of processing that. And he's like, do you really think so? You know? And I'm like, yeah, definitely. 100% I think so. And that's sort of the repercussion where I have a number of people that have come to me for expungements because they're trying to get jobs. And this is some years after they pled guilty to something, and it may not have been that serious. But, you know, it sounds worse than it is. You know, one of the things that you actually were talking about this the other day, Tom, I think, where, you know, you have these highfalutin laws like the Patriot Act, which is meant at the time to go after terrorists, you know. But, you know, terrorists are hard to find. And what ends up happening a lot of times when the government has new powers, they use it against the regular citizen, of course. So, you know, they go after an average guy like Gary over here, and they say that he made terrorist threats. Now, what that really means in practicality is you got in a fight with your girlfriend, and you tell her, you effing bitch, I'm going to kill you, you know? And they escalate that to terrorist threats, which is much more extreme. It sounds really bad. You plead guilty to that. Maybe you get probation or whatever. But then some years down the line, you know, you're applying for this square job at a company that's, you know, Fortune 500 or whatever, and it has a great future for you. But meanwhile, they look into your past and they do some research on you, of course, as they should. That's their due diligence. And this charge comes up. And it's like, you know, hey, you know, before we, you know, sign the bottom line here in the contract to make you our employee, are you the same, you know, Joe Blow who made terrorist threats back in so-and-so? And, you know, it sounds so extreme. And people don't realize when they're in this process a lot of times, you know, it really is a meat grinder. And if you look at the courts, you know, one of the things that blows my mind, I go to this one particular courthouse near my office in Van Nuys. And that's not even the biggest court in the area, but, you know, in L.A., but this is like a major courthouse. And in the morning, I mean, this is astonishing. Every day, and I mean every day, because of security, you know, the people kind of coming in one by one, going through the metal detectors and all, there is a line out the door of literally like hundreds of people, you know? And it's this machine. It's like sucking them in every morning and then spitting them out in the afternoon when they're all convicted and whatnot. And this happens to, you know, such a large number of people. It's really remarkable. And, you know, the system is very sort of unforgiving in a way. It's not having the humanity that people expect. I've talked about this before where, you know, one of the critical details is speed. Where the judge wants to keep the calendar moving, they have a lot of work to do, and if you're standing there talking about, you know, I want to explain what happened, or they don't even have time for you. They're like, come on, come on, let's go. And one of the ways that even, you know, is effective, and I've done this quite a few times, when they have so many people, you know, pleading guilty, guilty, boom, 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 next, when you're the one who has a lawyer and you're the one who's making, you know, disagreements about different aspects of the case, a lot of the times that will work to your advantage where they're just like, oh, let's get rid of this case just because this guy is a pain in the ass, just to get you, you know, kind of out of the ruffles that's, you know, kind of slowing things down when they need this kind of conveyor belt to kind of move along. And, you know, the counties and the state, we talked about this, Tom, you and I, about the cottage industries. There's so much money involved. It's unbelievable to keep people going to, you know, domestic violence classes and to DUI classes and to the fines and whatnot. It's such a business. It's unbelievable. I mean, the courts are always complaining that their budgets are being cut, and I think that is a problem. But on the other side of it, they bring in so much money. It's astonishing. And, you know, as a lawyer, this is always fun. There's huge lines to get to the windows to, like, pay fines and to look things up. I get to go to the front of the line. It makes people really upset. But when you do this, you know, you see if I go to the courthouse any time, day or night, there's, you know, 50 to 100 people online. And they are literally paying fines, you know, $300, $600, $800, $1,000. You know, there's a lot of fines that start off at $200 or $300, and, you know, people screw up, they don't pay it, whatever. And it literally goes to from, you know, $200 or $300 to $2,000 or $3,000. And sometimes, you know, if you hire a lawyer like myself, I can go in and get it reduced back down. But most people don't know that. And people literally eventually get desperate. They need their driver's license or whatever it is. And they'll come in and they will pay, a gigantic fine like that. It's amazing. They will put down $2,500. It's the saddest thing you ever saw. And when you think about all the money you pay in terms of your income tax, you know, we just had federal income tax in April. And, I mean, we all wrote this big check to the government or whatever, you know. And here, on top of all that money you're paying even more. It's really nauseating. And, you know, people get caught up in this more than you think. They were showing, you know, one of the things that's really sad in the minority communities, and they were talking about Baltimore, something like one out of three black men in Baltimore are actively involved in the criminal justice system. I mean, that's incredible. So that means, like, if you just look at three people, one of them is you know, got charges pending, or he's in at a trial, or he's got, you know, whatever going on. He's on probation. And, you know, that's just sort of across all of society. And, you know, it affects people in so many ways for their future and their employability. You know, one of the theories had been, you know, you were supposed to go to jail or, you know, be on probation or whatever, and you paid your debt to society. But people don't even think about it that way anymore. If you look at the Megan's Law and the sex offense registries, right? So you commit some kind of a sex offense, and that's obviously a shitty thing to do. But, you know, you go to jail for 3 years or whatever, you get out, and then this is on your, you know, record in this computer database for the rest of your life. And, you know, wherever you live, you have to live in certain places. You can't live near schools. And it's on this computer. And, you know, you ever see this thing, you know, people search for it and they have, like, you know, 12 sex offenders in the neighborhood. You remember you had that in Culver City
whatever? No, there's websites with maps and there's these little red dots where all the sex offenders live.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you were one of those red dots? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
Think of the impact that would have on your life and you know, just wanting to, you know, be normal, let's say. And I'm not saying you were a good person. Maybe you really were a sex offender. But then, you know, you pay your debt to society, and somehow that's not it. It continues with you, you know. And even if you try to straighten yourself out, or you go get therapy, or, you know, whatever you do to help yourself, you know, if you're sincere about it, it doesn't even matter, because this thing is going to always kind of be a cloud over you. And, you know, that's a real cruelty, where you have, like, a sort of a second class of people who don't get to do the things that everyone else does. And, you know, there's things now, Tom, and, you know, we've talked about the madness of young people, for example, where you had these, you know, 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds that, you know, were raped, essentially, by their teachers. But because the teacher was a woman, and she was beautiful, of course, and the 12-year-old was, you know, a guy, you know, he ends up having to pay child support to the teacher, you know, even though he's only 12. You know, he gets an order of child support. And in terms of some of the registrations and so forth, I've read a number of cases where, you know, a young guy fooled around with a girl, you know, around his age, and he ends up getting in trouble and ends up having to be registered as a sex offender, you know, from a very young age for something that was probably nothing more than sort of adolescent experimentation or whatever. And again, the connection of it, and this is what I'm talking about, is so fast and so unforgiving. I've had so many people call me. This is really tragic, Tom. This, you know, you don't see this in the regular world. This is something that lawyers know. I've had a lot of people call me, and this just happened the other day, which is kind of stunning. The guy called me at about 7:45, and court starts at 8:30. And he literally says to me, look, it's 7:45. I've got court in 45 minutes in Norwalk, and I'm really scared, and I don't know what to do. And, you know, it's nonsense. The guy knew about it for months. He's had paperwork. He was aware of it. You know, he finally calls, you know, to talk to an actual lawyer, and he wants me to help him literally that day, you know, within less than an hour, where even if I jumped into my suit and went straight to my car and drove, I couldn't even be there on time. And then, you know, I'm starting to talk to him about it. Look, you know, you got to ask for a continuance, and you're going to have to hire me. And he's like, oh, I don't have any money to hire you anyway. And I'm like, dude, come on. You knew about this. You need to talk to your parents. You need to talk to your friends. You should have borrowed some money or sold some of your stuff or done something, you know, to show some sense of preparation. And, you know, there are a lot of people in this world that just don't prepare. And this is, you know, the worst aspect of that. This is where, you know, being a procrastinator is absolutely deadly. You know, you don't get that forgiveness that you get in other aspects of life. I mean, there are a lot of people that procrastinate, and that's why we have, you know, FedEx, right? Because you then call the company and they overnight you something or whatever. But in this case, you know, procrastinating is really going to be disastrous, and it's not going to be something that you can necessarily fix. Now, Tom, I think you've been occasionally a little procrastinator, right?
Everybody is occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, usually I'm not so much a procrastinator as I say yes to lots of things I have no time to say yes to, and I'm frequently double and triple booked to do things at the same time.
Right.
And I try to please a lot of people. So it's not that I'm lazy or a procrastinator. I work 7 days a week. But many times I say yes to things I have no business saying yes to. Because I just don't have time to do everything.
People pleaser. You don't want to say no. You don't want to hurt someone, right?
People would be surprised because I'm such a dick on the show. But in reality, I'm always saying yes to do things or to look at something for someone. Do things I don't have time to do.
Didn't you have one of your ex-wives or something, one of your ex-girlfriends say that you were really a big teddy bear or something like that? I remember hearing that somewhere. Oh, come on, Tom. You don't mean that.
That was
you're
probably
really a teddy
in that. That was probably in the documentary.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I think that's how I probably know you, at least to some degree. But really? You see how you can easily start, you know, double and triple booking and so forth. You know, there's some weirdness where people will start telling you a long story. And, you know, my time is pressed. You know, somebody calls me and I'm trying to be courteous. And this is something that Gary has been working on me for years about. So I'm listening. And, you know, people start telling you a very long story with a lot of extraneous details. But interestingly, usually there's some kind of the end of what they're telling. That's what really counts. You know that thing where Columbo would say, you know, oh, by the way, just one more thing, you know. So he's sitting there listening to this BS, you know, but then he looks like he's going to leave. But then he turns around and he says to the guy, oh, and by the way, one more question, you know, and that's the crucial thing, you know. You see with people, there's a crossover where they will start telling me a story and they'll say, well, okay, let me explain it. Okay, back in 1994, I originally moved to Los Angeles and then I did this and then I did this whole long story. And I'm trying to just, you know, kind of take it all in and try to see how this all relates. But at the end, they kind of say, you know, and that's when the cop told me that he was going to make sure that I suffer, you know. And I'm like, what was that last part there? That sounded a little more important than the rest of all this life story, which is great. But the thing that people do, and this is, you know, something that I want to get across to our listeners, you know, and this is not to scold. I'm not trying to be the nasty parent who puts you down, but you've got to get your head out of your ass. You have to look at things in proportion, and you have to think about, you know, not just today and not just, you know, making the pain go away, which is what people think, but the longer term. And I think that there is a real tendency, maybe more so in our society today. You know, maybe this is a millennial thing. People that are sort of in the, you know, instantaneous and rapid pleasure and, you know, just thinking about the moment and instant gratification. But you've got to have a part of you that looks at it and says, I really have to get a lawyer. I can't just plead guilty. If I do this, it's going to eliminate this problem, but then I'm going to end up having a much bigger problem where I'm going to lose my job or I'm going to lose my ability to do the things that I want. You know, one of the things that's heartbreaking, I talk to students, and, you know, they're going to medical school, they're getting their MBA, and they want to be a CPA or whatever, and, you know, they get a DUI or they punch their girlfriend in the face or something. So they're saying, look, I'm a student, I'm struggling, I got loans, I don't have any money extra, you know, to deal with this, so I'm just going to plead guilty, and who cares, and what are you going to do? I'll be on probation for a while. And I say to them, listen, you've got to understand, if you don't take this to the end, if you don't fight this, you know, when you apply for your CPA license, when you apply for your medical license, when you apply for your technician's license, whatever the heck it is, you're going to have a problem. They're going to take this against you. They're going to say that you made terrorist threats or you were involved with domestic violence. Look how in this this fight with Mayweather. How they it's like the public perception. He's standing there, the champion, right? He puts his fists up in the air, and the crowd boos, right? And you know, yeah, they say, well, they were angry because of the fight, or wasn't in the way he evaded Pacquiao, whatever. But one of the reasons that people are booing him is because, you know, and it's fair in his case, it's true. He apparently is a domestic abuser. And he's been convicted several times, and he went to jail for a few months or whatever. So, you know, people don't cheer the guy. They're like, what a jerk. What an asshole. He, you know, he beat up his girlfriend or his wife or whatever. You know, you do not want to be tarnished with that brush. That's going to be something that stays with you. You know, Tom, you have that arrest of, you know, your domestic violence thing. And, you know, that's what, 25 years ago? And that's still, you know, and you were innocent. And somehow, you know, people keep bringing that up. You know, it's amazing how that, you know, that's something that
well, because
you know,
trolls are always looking for ammunition, you know, and what else? Nothing has happened to me since I was arrested in 1993, 22 years ago.
Yeah, but so if you were real domestic.
So they have to go back.
Yeah, but if
they
you
have
were,
to go back.
If you were real, you know, one of those types that was beating up girlfriends, you would have five convictions by now, you know?
Right.
It wouldn't have been this one isolated strange incident, which is bullshit, okay? But you see how this is something that, you know, sticks, and it's like, you know, calling someone a racist or a child molester or whatever. I was watching some European elections that are going on, and there's some, you know, particular candidates that have some views against immigrants or against Muslims or something. And you see in the audience the guy raises his hand to ask a question in this forum, and he says to the candidate, "You're a racist. You know, I think you're a racist." And, you know, that is like the most, you know, sticky, ugly thing that can be said about you, you know? And it's one of those things that you can't sort of turn it around. In other words, you know, it's like proving a negative, you know? It's like, I'm not a racist. You know, I'm not. You know, it's like, well, I think you are, you know? So it's like, it's out there, you know? And in the context of criminal law, and this is something that I want everyone to think about, you know, when it all comes down to it, all you really have in life. And this is really true, Tom. I think you've basically put this in your philosophy. But, you know, all you really have in your life in the end is your good name. And you don't want it to be in a computer somewhere in some database where, you know, when they type in your name and they're doing a search, you know, whether to give you a license or whether to hire you or whatever the story is going to be in your future, and you never know where your future is going to go. I always feel bad with the people that say, I don't need a prenup because I don't have anything and I'm never going to have anything. And that's really stupid. You know, if you push yourself, if you make an effort, you never know, you know, how successful you can be. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, this computer database, and they have all these, you know, crime databases and FBI databases and all this other nonsense, you know, you don't want your name to be, you know, tap, and it comes up, and it's like, you know, domestic violence conviction, terrorist threats, assault and battery on whatever. You know, that's the worst thing that you can do. And, you know, that goes double for the beginning and getting it right, not going into denial, you know, maybe being shocked and upset for a day or two, but then snapping out of it. I have a lot of people who call me and they tell me, oh, I can't deal with this right now. I'm going to call you in a few days. And then I never hear from them again. And I don't know what happened to them. And that makes me sad. You know, I think a lot of them probably just go into denial and pretend it's all going to be okay. And it's not. And I think, like I said, if you only have your good name, that's something that you have to conserve. And then the second part of that is if you're already convicted, I talk to too many people that get arrested again years later, and now they're secondary offenders when they could have had the first thing expunged. And if you have something on your name that you're carrying around, some people have it from 10, 20 years ago, you know, get it expunged, for God's sake. I mean, that's the least you can do. I told you, the people that do this with me, when I get them the certificate that shows that their conviction is gone and erased, they get teary, and they're so happy. It's such a relief to them. And so that, I think, is the great message I have realized over time, that this is really essentially the essence of who you are as a person, is your name and your reputation, and you should guard it with great precision and great fierceness.
No doubt. And there's always going to be people trying to chip away at that. Former employers
who
want to take one last shot at you. You know, employers are supposed to be very careful about what they say about you after you're gone. But I know, because I've seen it firsthand, I've known how people just completely disregard your entire future and They want to say shit about you, or they're angry that things didn't work out. Maybe you quit the job and they wanted you to stay around for a while, or
right.
Whatever. And so they try to get back at you. And that's another thing people have to be vigilant about, is not only you know, what kinds of crimes they were accused of, and that stuff stays in the database, but also what employers are saying about you. And that's another place where a good attorney can really help you, is if you have a former employer who is getting back at you any number of ways. You know, when I was fired back in 1992 at a radio station here in L.A., you know, the management of the station was leaking to the press that I had a dark side and I was difficult to work with.
Give me a break.
All these quotes started appearing. And, you know, if I didn't have an attorney follow that shit up and chase it down, that would stand as what people knew and believed about me.
Wow.
And well, all it was the radio station trying to make sure that I was damaged good so I couldn't get another job at another radio station.
Right. So you're supposed to just commit suicide, essentially.
Well, you know, they loved me, and they paid me gobs of money previously, and then when it was convenient to get rid of me.
Well, they love you until they don't love you anymore, basically.
Yeah, but then they'll do evil things, okay?
Right.
And I know, without naming any of them, I know radio personalities have been accused of sexually molesting their coworkers and things like that, and it's all bullshit. It's stuff that the radio station tries to do to get out of paying off contracts. That's what they do.
Right. You know, when you look at that, you know, you're probably not in life going to just die at your desk. You're going to go through different jobs. And, you know, one of the people that I can talk to really get dirt on someone is to look up an ex-wife, you know?
Right.
You call the ex-wife and you say, hey, you used to be married to so-and-so. You know, what's he really like? She hates his guts, you know? She can't wait to talk to someone about what a piece of crap he is, you know? And you see how, like in the presidential race now, the people that we've not heard of, you know, yet Hillary Clinton's really famous, but, you know, there's a lot of other names that you don't really know a lot about. And you see how the media and other groups can do essentially negative research, you know, and they'll dig up something and they'll say, hey, did you know that so-and-so made a donation to the Ku Klux Klan, and he, you know, has a son who's a drug addict, and his wife said he was an adulterer. And, you know, people can come up with all kinds of dirt on people in that way. And you see, as you say, where, you know, you get fired from a job, or, you know, the contract's done, or you quit. And there's some kind of sour grapes, and people are annoyed, and they're pissed off, and they say, you know, that Lycus guy, you know, he really had no right to do that, and, you know, we're going to make sure that he never gets a new gig, you know, we don't want him out there competing with us or whatever. And, you know, that's really ugly. And that's, again, the same issue of protecting yourself and protecting your name. And I'm telling you, I really think that whoever you are, you really don't have anything else. You really don't. You have your life, of course, you know, and you move it around, but your reputation follows you, and it's very, very important. And when someone is, you know, trying to attack that, you know, that's someone who's making an accusation against you, maybe an ex-girlfriend or an employer, and you have a prosecutor coming after you, you cannot take that sleeping. You just can't. You can't take it lying down, because the reverberations can be something that really affects your life. I've talked to people, just silly things, you know, people that have been in car accidents. I've been in car accidents, and, you know, you exchange the insurance and you do the best you can and you deal with it. I've talked to people that got into a car accident, and that's like a fork in the road for the rest of their life, where that accident changed the course of everything that happened to them. And 10 years later, they were still dealing with repercussions of that accident. And that's, you know, honestly quite insane. That's crazy. It would have been a lot smarter to spend a few thousand on a lawyer and let him just deal with it, close it up, to let it happen where it's going on and on and on. Like you said, you're getting these leaks from the station that fired you or whatever, and they're saying, you know, that you're a child molester or you're difficult to work with or whatever. You know, that slander is something that has to be dealt with and should be dealt with, because it's going to hurt you in a much larger sense, in a much more esoteric sense, but in the longer term. That's why I tell people, where I started all this conversation, coming to court with your mom and dad and getting the public defender and hoping for the best is so ignorant. These people that call me 20 minutes before the courthouse, you know, is opening and say, come on, man, you got to help me. I don't know what to do. Come on, you're a fool. You need to put a little effort into this. You have to love yourself, make some effort to protect yourself, and not put yourself out there in a way that you're going to get crushed. And the system will roll over you and crush you. There's no doubt about it. It crushes the little guy. And so you've got to have the brains to protect yourself and to recognize that it's an emergency, to recognize that the house is on fire, and to start carrying some goddamn water buckets and do something about it.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We have calls coming in for Adam. Adam is here as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and that means you can call Adam, and whether you've been accused of something like drug driving or drug use, or who knows, maybe you've had some employer issues, you've been accused of a crime you did not commit, maybe you've been accused of a crime that you did commit but they can't prove it, maybe you were in Baltimore raising hell and you thought it was for a good cause or whatever. I don't know, but Adam is here to answer your questions. These are free legal advice for you. All you have to do is call this number right now. 901-3000 Tom is the number. 901-3000 Tom. Free legal advice if you call right now at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslo Insurance. Costlo. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslo since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslo. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslo has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com today. Coslo. Coslo.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24/7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and ask like TuneIn. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no bras, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
Spring is here, and that means it's time to break out the weed whacker again. But before you do, let me introduce you to the Weed Shark. Now, this bad boy is going to save you a lot of time and hassle. The Weed Shark is a universal multi-purpose trimmer head designed to meet the standards of landscaping pros, so you know you'll be in good hands. The Weed Shark is a 4-in-1 heavy-duty adapter head with replaceable cutting teeth and trimmer line for use on traditional gas-powered weed trimmers. Stop digging around with that crappy standard head that came with your trimmer. The Weed Shark uses revolutionary dual cutting action where the trimmer line wraps around what you're cutting and pulls it toward the shark teeth, shearing everything in its path. Right now, get the Mighty Max for just $29.95. Just visit WeedSharks.com. That's WeedSharks, plural.com. Get to that cold beer faster. Get the Weed Shark at WeedSharks.com.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. That's where you find Gary Dino, Mike Simpson, Adam Sachs. I have decamped to New Normal North, the radio ranch in northern Santa Barbara County. And I'll return at the appropriate time. But in the meantime, the show goes on at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the telephone number. 901-3000-866 on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Let's go to Adam in Garner, North Carolina. Adam, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Lycus and Mr. Sex, for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Quick shout out to my friend Tay in Portland. He put me on this, said I should call in because I got a dilemma on my hands.
Oh, dear.
Cool.
On my drive home from my shift at work today, I was called by the HR representative of my company and told that I was suspended without pay pending a verbal abuse / verbal harassment claim filed against me.
Oh, my God.
So the first thing I would like to point out is I wasn't given a warning. I knew nothing of this. No email, no private meeting with a manager, a team lead, or anything like that. It was literally on my drive home after I did my shift.
Wow. Talk about dirty pool.
And I don't want to be resentful or bitter. I'm just dealing with the facts. I need to know what my options are because I think I'm hosed right now. She said that I was suspended without pay. And even if it's proven false, there's no material against me, I don't get paid for that time. I have to come in on a Saturday or a weekend day to make it up. Secondly, that claim stays on my record with the recruitment office that I went through to get this job.
Right.
So two things there. Even if it's false, it's there. And if someone finds out that a claim was filed against me, what's to stop them from saying I harassed them? They're like, oh, well, he already has one claim against him. This has to be true. Or conversely, it would prevent me from getting another job through the same recruitment office because I'm flagged now, which is when you were talking about protecting your name. I was like, man, what a great segue for me to come on. So the HR representative asked if I knew about the situation, and I told her, like, the way I'm talking to you now is the way I conduct myself with employees because I don't give two shits about you when I work there. I'm only there for 8 hours. I'm not going to have a beer with you or hang out. I'm there to do a job. It's nothing personal. I just don't mix personal stuff and work. That's just how I am. So I was very concise with her and very polite. I was like, look, I don't know who would have a grievance against me. Nothing's been brought to my attention. And then the light bulb went off. I was like, there's one person that I can think of. And I'm not going to say her name. But when I was moving cubicles, she sits in the cubicle next to me. And the conversation opener is, what picture of my cats do you want facing you? And I was like, well, none. Thanks for asking, though. That day, I threw a can away, and she flipped out, and she's like, you need to recycle that. And I was like, no, that's cool. It's already in the trash. So she pulls it out of the trash and puts it on my desk and says, you need to walk down to the break room and recycle that. We have a recycling center here. And I was like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. And I just threw it back away. That's the only thing I can think of where someone could have said, like, I was confrontational or...
That is unbelievable.
But this is the situation I'm dealing with.
I know, but this, you see why Tom said you can't work with women? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if that's it. And it is possible if that's the only thing you can remember. But, I mean, give me a break. There's some can in the wrong recycling container.
Yeah, she wanted me to walk, like, get up and walk to throw it away when I'm new.
Who,
so they look at our
she?
Case now.
She's your mother? I mean, unbelievable.
She's not even a team lead. She's on the same pay grade as I am.
No, I'm just saying the idea that somehow this is relevant conversation, that she actually took the time to take the can out of the trash and to bring it back to you and tell you that you had thrown it out wrong and that you had to go throw it out in the correct place or whatever. That is so twisted. It's so unbelievable. But I mean,
I made sure not to be terse or abrasive. I didn't have a tone in my voice. I was very neutral. I was just point blank. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to walk down the recycling to throw this away.
No, I know. I mean, you know, Dad Lycus taught me that, you know, in terms of women at work, you don't talk to them at all. It's not a good idea. I mean, it's too crazy. There are too many minefields now where, as you see, you end up getting this sort of, you know, shoot first, ask questions later. Obviously, the company's already fired you or put you on suspension or whatever. They, instead of telling you while you're at the office, they tell you after you've left, so you're not there. You know, you're not supposed to go find out what happened, you know, like talk to the different people. And it's just sort of this thing that's over you. I understand, sorry, you're talking about your concern for, you know, losing your hours, or, you know, this week's or that next week's hours or making up the hours. I think that's missing the point. You know, the bigger issue may be the loss of your job, you know, in general. I mean, how long have you been at this company? Is it a very good job?
Except this issue, I'd say yes. They have a whole pay for your certification during the technical degrees program through there for a year. So I was trying to get my act together and focus on doing something like that. And I was like, cool, a company that's going to invest in me that I can invest in.
Well, I understand, but are you there for a long time? Would it be a big loss to you to lose the job?
I was there for a month. Like, I've been there for a month now.
Okay. I mean, if you were building a career and you told me you were there for 10 years, I'd be more upset than if you're only there for about a month. And if you're only there for a month, maybe you're still on probation or, you know, you're sort of a new employee or whatever. You know, the company may not be a good fit for you. And obviously, this woman is, you know, I'm, by the way, you're not even exactly sure if this is the incident that they're complaining about. But you said this is the only thing that kind of comes into your mind.
Right.
You know, the capacity for women to be, you know, the new thing is to be offended, you know. I saw this TV show and they were, you know, this guy was talking about some politics thing or whatever. And this woman on the panel says, oh, you know, you keep interrupting me and I'm so offended. I can't believe it. And all the guys on the panel are like, oh, we're sorry. Oh, God, we're so sorry. We didn't mean to offend you, you know. And the one guy says, you don't give a shit if I offended you. Who the hell are you? You're an adult. Grow up, you know? And that's considered, like, really rude. But we're supposed to treat women as equals. And then all of a sudden, you know, the sensibilities of this tender child are hurt. And, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm assuming this is the incident because it doesn't sound like it was very much else. But, I mean, she takes the can out of the garbage and brings it back to you and tells you to recycle it. And you say, I'm not going to. And so, I don't know, somehow that hurt her feelings or something. That is so petty and so silly and so stupid. It's almost hard to believe, you know? And here you're going to have to fight for your job and you might have to hire an attorney and there's going to be a hearing and there's going to be, you know, all these things. But the companies, you have to look at it from their point of view. You know, they've only had you there for a month. They don't know you very well and they don't want to get sued because they end up losing. And then she sues the company and that you were harassing her or sexually harassing her or creating a hostile work environment or she was scared of you or, you know, you touched her or you leaned over her or whatever the hell you did. And this is going to end up being something that's going to go on for years. They're going to have to defend themselves. They're going to have all kinds of crazy requests for documents and video and depositions and all this stuff. And in the end, you know, it's going to cost them a whole lot of headache and money. And when they sit there and think about this, they'd rather just fire you and be done with it, you know, and then get rid of you for cause or because you're on probation or whatever. So I would say that you have to think about, you know, how much you value this job if you're really interested in fighting for it, if there really is some value to it or otherwise. You know, it might be smart to just walk away if it's not worth it. You haven't been there that long. If you're really invested in it personally, financially, emotionally, or whatever, then you're going to have to go back and find out the charges and, you know, maybe go to some kind of disciplinary hearing, certainly bring an attorney, and try to show that you really didn't do anything because the way you've described it, you really didn't do anything. I mean, I think that I would be very surprised if Gary brought me a can out of the garbage and told me I had thrown it out wrong. What do you say, Gary? Mm-hmm. That would be bizarre.
Yes.
I would be offended. Would you be offended, Gary?
Yes,
Gary would go straight to human resources.
Yes.
This Adam Sachs guy came in here and took the can and made me recycle it. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at your problem, which is obviously serious for you, but is that the most ridiculous thing? I mean, come on. That's just silly.
I couldn't believe it was happening.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. This is how life is. You know, there are people in this world that pull guns on each other and beat each other up. And, you know, you understand that that person gets charged with assault or attempted murder. But, you know, when you have these little things that happen that are, you know, taken out of context, that are so stupid and silly, and all of a sudden it, like, escalates into this, you know, career-altering thing. And it's like, what did he do? I read some of these sometimes, or I talk to someone about it. And he's like, yeah, I lost my job. And I go, over what? Oh, yeah, I recycled the can wrong, you know. And this lady got upset, and I brushed her off instead of taking her seriously. So therefore, I offended her feminine managerial skills and, you know, hurt her feelings, and I got fired for that. That's out of proportions. That's crazy. So anyways, do me a favor. Call me after the show, and we'll talk about this some more. And maybe I can, I don't know, if you have to really decide if you want to stand and fight or whether it's not worth the trouble. And if you're only there a month, I mean, I'm not so sure how significant that is. You'll have to think about that issue. But, you know, the loss of a couple of days of pay is not the point. It's a loss of the whole job. But the company, you know, crazy as it is, they must have some kind of grievance procedure. You would check this in the company book or whatever they have, the employee handbook. And there must be a way for you to, you know, resist this and to go to a hearing and complain and get it overturned if it's not fair or whatever.
Of course, keep in mind, Adam lives in North Carolina, and that part of the United States, labor law, not very favorable to the employee, unions, anything like that. So,
and that's also the East Coast, the world of the ball-busting bitch, right, Tom?
Right. So the laws may not be favorable for all we know, but, you know, again, he's been there a month, so he has to decide how he feels about making an issue out of this. And sometimes you want to make an issue out of that. Sometimes something unfair happens.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You want to do something. Me, right. If somebody told me don't come in without pay, I'd have a new job tomorrow.
Well, it might be harder for some
people. I wouldn't wait for the hearing.
Others.
I'd be out.
I don't know, Tom. When you talk about it in the past, I remember thinking how nutty it was at the time where you said you wouldn't want to work in an office with women or whatever, and how, you know, we have these integrated offices now, and I always thought of that as a really good thing, you know, different kinds of people working together from different backgrounds or whatever. But the truth is that, you know, everyone's having a good time and everything's fine, and then it turns out that little Sally was offended by something you said, you know, one of the boys said, and writes a complaint and gets you fired. That's her power in the modern world. And that's a scary thing. They throw away your whole career over some bullshit because she's offended because you refuse to recycle a can. Give me a break.
Right.
Can you believe
and
that?
Then she goes and lies. It says you sexually molested her.
Of course.
That you, you said something.
You recycled the can and you grabbed her on the ass.
Right? Exactly. You know what? I guarantee if we hear from Adam again, that's what he's going to tell us happened.
Right.
It's going to be something like that.
Right. She'd have to embellish it and add a few details to it.
He went from not recycling a can to grabbing a can. That's what it's going to be.
Grabbing both cans.
That's exactly right. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. And I know many of you want to. We're going to tell you how to do that as we continue. Don't go anywhere.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Mother's Day is this Sunday. Yes, this Sunday. And for my listeners only, and that means people like you, Sherry's Berries is offering giant freshly dipped strawberries starting at only $19.99. That's over a 40% savings. Just go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in my code LEYKIS, LEYKIS. But get this, for today only, you can double the berries for just $5 more. Twice as much for only $5 more. But you have to use my code LEYKIS. Now, I have Sherry's Berries sitting here with me right now. I'm going to post a photo of these in a little while. Big, luscious, juicy, amazing strawberries. And they are covered with white chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate. Oh, my God. They're incredible. All kinds of toppings. And what a variety of Mother's Day gifts. Look, I'm not a gift buyer. I don't know how to express feelings in that way. I don't. But one great way to express feelings is just to send somebody something they love. And your mom is going to love Sherry's Berries. Now, here's the only way to get this amazing deal. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at only $19.99, over a $40 savings. And today only, double the berries for just $5 more. This offer is for listeners like you, my tribe, only when you use my code LIKAS. All right? Now, you visit berries.com. Berries is spelled berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in LEYKIS, LEYKIS. You got that? Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, enter my code LEYKIS. But remember, this Mother's Day deal expires tonight at midnight. So make sure you order right now.
Hey, bitches. This is Manju. If you missed the Gary and Dino show, you missed this.
She'll be going down on your Indian dick.
Nothing like curse spell.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Happy birthday, Dino.
Oh, French fries.
You fat fucking whore.
You got fries.
What the fuck is that?
Dick out.
I got a Gary Randy Quaid.
Yeah,
have you seen people mentioning your appearance on the Gary and Dino show?
Spike in interest of any kind?
No.
The Gary and Dino Show. Go to GaryandDino.com.
Okay, boys, let's talk about Step Ups. That's Step Ups top quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95. And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Like a Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking-on-air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free. 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. Or you can send me an email, which I love, and I answer my own email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. You can hear Adam, by the way, on this bonus hour. We do it every Tuesday. It begins at 6 p.m. Pacific time. 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Udino. Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Yay.
Beer Magazine, according to a new survey by a website called Miss Travel. It's a destination dating website.
How about Mistake? What is it?
The world's sexiest women are from Armenia.
What?
And the world's
wait a minute.
The world's
weird.
Sexiest dudes are from Ireland.
Wait, can we skip the dudes for a second? Let's go back to the
Armenian
women.
It's the whole Kardashian effect.
If you like hairy cleavage.
Bingo. What's wrong with a little hair on the tits?
I can't believe you guys are like this. Armenians are first.
Last year, Australian men and Brazilian women topped the hot charts. The hot charts.
Man, yeah, we're so close to Glendale being here in Burbank. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't come off the page for me for some reason.
Interesting.
I don't even know what the second sexiest.
What?
What is the Barbados, Barbadian, Bajan? I don't know what the fuck that is. B-A-J-A-N? I don't know what the hell that is. Mm. Barbados.
Americans are third on the list for women.
Colombians get it. Mm. For show. Our English friends at 5. Paul, who's done every hot Australian, 6. Mm. Our friends in Brazil, Philippines, Bulgaria, and Lebanese. Mm-hmm. Round it out. Fucking Armenia. Come on.
If you're going over to the UK, health experts are warning that nearly 75% of men and 65% of women in the UK will be overweight by 2030.
Wow. That's quite the curve, and it's going way up. Look at these people. Everybody's getting big.
They give them 15 years for everybody to blow up like they are over here.
The health experts call it a problem of enormous proportions.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pretty huge.
Well, the food is pretty good over there. You just don't get enough of it.
Meat pies. What's wrong with meat pies and good beer?
Right. Shepherd's pie. Is that what that is? I'd eat that.
Yes.
Delicious.
Fuck it, eh? It's our Scottish friends with that.
It's a pie made out of meat.
Haggis or something. That's disgusting.
And mashed potatoes. You can't go wrong right there.
I know, but
with some gravy on it.
They're
done.
Saying it's wrong.
Please. Don't worry about it. Get off your ass. Alabama high school teacher accused of having sex with two students, and she's a looker. She's a looker.
Oh, okay.
Ashley. Ashley Nelson Hall, 33.
I will determine this.
Not half bad, let me tell you.
Let's see if I would show up to class for this. Holy
shit! She's coming in at an even 69 inches, I believe.
Look at her. You see what shirt she's rocking?
Yeah, Orioles.
Yep, she's an O's
Come
fan.
On. Yes, sir.
She bang around with two people, they say?
Counts of a school employee engaging in sex acts or deviant sexual intercourse with a student under the age of 19.
I got to reclassify. This is awesome.
The girl is teaching 10th and 11th grade English.
Wow.
Got her own twist on that.
She's unbelievable. 33 years old. I hope she's innocent. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. And a 23-year-old Florida mother,
mm-hmm.
who was busted 3 years ago.
Okay.
And charged with having sex with two dogs. Has now confessed to having sex and giving drugs to a 15-year-old boy. Yeah, that's Brittany Sonia, 23 years old. At a Holy Hill, Florida. Yeah. The boy got concerned after he learned she had been arrested in 2012 and charged with having sex with the two dogs.
She's done so much by the age of 23.
She apparently confessed that she had been sleeping with dogs since she was 13 years old. Mm. She also told her boyfriend, now her ex-boyfriend, that she had incest fantasies. It's not good.
I'm very offended at this. Mm-hmm. In addition to having sex two straight nights, she also revealed that she gave the boy a little bit of weed and alcohol.
Right.
I got to draw
yes.
the line.
That's where you're down with her banging dogs. But don't be giving the kid any
Please.
Weed.
Show the children some respect.
Finally, the magic number for Bill Cosby, now 35. Count them, 35
yeah.
accusers. 35, Gloria Allred, right there. Glorious.
God, is she good.
Special pantsuit, just to make particular...
for 35. Yes. I know she selected
it. It's a special occasion.
She selected a perfect outfit.
Yes, calls for a special pantsuit.
Does. And you know what?
What?
She may be dressed in a nice lavender pantsuit or whatever she's got,
yeah.
but she gets the job
she
done.
She borrowed it from Hillary Clinton.
That's fine.
It came from straight from the top.
Gloria Allred, incredible.
Plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Armenians are first.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
This is the new normal.
WAP, yeah. Dago, Guinea.